You have big dreams to be an influencer, but you're finding yourself caught up in the comparison trap of page views, followers, and number count. The good news is that's the old way of doing business, and I'm going to show you the new way. I'm Nicole Culver, your host of The Shift Show. So get out your notebook and let's get started so you can join the social shift. We are here today with Jake Curry from Mind Body Masters, and Jake really helps people heal from the inside out and find the emotional cause of their symptoms. I am so pumped to have you on, Jake. I feel like I've known you forever, and you've helped me just like come so far emotionally and just, we'll talk about how we've worked together in the past, like 10-ish months. So I'm really excited. I've been talking to you about having you on. I'm so excited you're here. So welcome.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
So why don't you tell everyone a little bit about you and what you do and who you help?
Yeah. So essentially I help people who have tried everything to heal. They've been to all the chiros, physios, osteos, doctors. They've tried all the supplements and done all the diets and everything. And the one thing that a lot of these people haven't looked at is how is the emotional stress in their life, the emotional traumas that they've been through, how is that impacting their body? So I work with these people to help them identify the specific links emotionally that are causing their symptoms and then help them work through those said issues.
Yeah. And you were a chiropractor. So how did you even come down this path? Because it wasn't even something I saw you posted in TCP and other people were posting about your work. And I was kind of at that point too, where I was like, okay, I've tried everything to resolve a pain that I was having. And I felt so stuck and I felt like I was adding in so many different things, like adding in the supplements, going to the chiropractor, going to different healers, and nothing was working. And I was still in this like negative thought pattern spiral. And you really helped me come out of that. So how did you even come to realize that this even existed, that emotional pain and trauma can cause symptoms?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. And I guess a big part of that answer is I was where you were like a long while ago. So I was always injured as a kid growing up. I played plenty of sports, but I just had all of these mystery, unexplained pains and things like that. And not from direct trauma or anything, but just, I would just wake up one day and all of a sudden I couldn't turn my neck or use my shoulder or bend over to pick something off the ground. So that was what prompted me to become a chiropractor, because one of the things with chiropractic is they understand that the body has an innate ability to heal itself, which really resonated with something with me deep inside. And so studying chiro and then practicing chiropractic, I realized that so many people's symptoms weren't necessarily physical, but often they had an emotional cause. And for me, I was doing the same thing. I tell the story of a particular injury I had, Nicole, where I tore my groin training. And I was doing everything. Like I was getting adjusted. I was doing all the rehab, the stretches, all of the physical kind of therapy. And then I would look at getting all of the supplements, reducing inflammation out of my diet and doing all of this stuff to try and help my body physically heal. And it wasn't until I was actually presenting at a health and wellness expo on something completely unrelated, I think running technique or something. And there were some guys there talking about something called Germany medicine. And they were talking all about how Germany medicine is the understanding of how disease starts from a particular unexpected emotional issue, right? And so I went and spoke to these guys afterwards and their presentation really resonated with me. And I was like, this is it. This is something that I've been looking for. And so after trying 1,000 different things to help my body heal, I had a conversation with one of these guys and I said, oh, well, can this groin injury that I've had for the last 6 months, could that be emotional? Anyway, he asked me a few questions and kind of helped me to see a bit of a blind spot that I hadn't seen. And I was like, oh man, yeah, that thing is a real stressor in my life. Holy crap. How did you know that? And then within a few moments, the groin pain dropped almost immediately. And then within a week I was back training and then I was like, holy crap, this is truth. There's mm-hmm. truth in this, and I need to do this. And so after that, that was probably early 2014. And since then, I've just been studying everything I can about the mind and the body, and Germany medicine, the particular links between the mind and the body. And as I was practicing chiropractic, the more I practiced, the more I realized that my patients, their physical pains and their physical symptoms weren't physical. And it was really cool, because then I could actually start to help these people by helping them identify the emotional cause of their symptoms, so that they could actually really start to transform and heal really quickly. So I guess that's my story. And it comes from a place of searching, like you did, and trying all the things that so many people have tried, all the supplements and therapies, and then coming to realize that there was some big emotional stuff in my life that I hadn't dealt with. And once I started to deal with that, everything changed.
I know a lot of people are going to be listening to this and be like, what do you mean? What do you mean that physical pain or physical symptoms actually can be from emotional trauma? So I'm sure you get that response a lot, mm-hmm. where people are just like in total disbelief. And I think just working with you and seeing so many of the women especially that you've helped, it's like, oh my gosh, this is so real. This is undeniable that this mm-hmm. is real. But what's your response to those people who are like, what do you mean? I've never heard this before. How could this possibly be true? Why aren't more people talking about this?
Well, I think a lot of people are talking about it, just in different contexts. It's just that the traditional allopathic model of medicine sees the body as faulty. It sees the body as there's something wrong with it. Whereas when we look at it from Germany medicine, we don't see it, the body as being broken. We see this amazing human body that we all have. When we experience pain or symptoms or something like that, they're not a bad thing. It's actually your body helping you to cope with stress. It's actually helping you, your body, to survive. And so there's plenty of research out there on, like, if you want to look up the link between, like, just go and Google this kind of stuff. Is like, look at the link between cortisol levels and pain and all this kind of stuff. Like, the research is really starting to catch up with this stuff. But I guess one of the biggest things is, the people that I've worked with, they all start out going, well, that can't be true. Like, this physical thing that I've got is physical. It's not emotional. What are you talking about, Jake? But the thing is, once you actually experience this work, and once you actually see the impact that moving through some old emotional stuff has on your physical body, all of a sudden you can see that for what it is. And you're like, okay, now I get it. And I think that's the best evidence that, especially for people on their own journey, I think that's the best mm-hmm. evidence out there.
Yeah, 100%. So emotional trauma that hasn't been dealt with. I had mm-hmm. like laundry list, pages and pages of emotional trauma that I hadn't dealt with. And I know a lot of my listeners are so similar to me, where first of all, we're never taught, like, here's how you deal with trauma. And I think for the society and how, where we live right now, my parents didn't know how to teach trauma, how to deal with trauma. They were doing the best they can with what they had. So now it's something that it's really interesting, because now I'm learning how to teach this to my kids. Yeah.
Beautiful.
But for all those, for the people who are like, well, yeah, okay, I've definitely had trauma. How do you know? How do you know if you had trauma? Because sometimes trauma is not major big things, and you're like, well, what I went through isn't that bad. So how do you know if you've had trauma, and how do you start to deal with it, especially if it's been 10, 20, 30 years since the first trauma you've had?
Sure. Well, that's a really great question. And I think this is something that I hear a lot, is people will be like, oh, but Jake, I haven't been through any kind of trauma. And to be honest, that's what I thought too. Like, I thought, oh man, like, I haven't been through any like deaths or like major traumas that we typically associate with trauma. But the thing is, it doesn't need to be trauma with a big T. It can be trauma with a little T. And what I mean by trauma with a little T is basically anything in life where you experience something that catches you off guard. And I'm sure everyone here can resonate, and your listeners can have had this experience in their life when they go through something stressful and it catches them off guard and they feel it. It's like a thud in the chest. You feel a knot in your stomach almost instantly. That is the type of unexpected stressful event that can cause your body to physically change. So first and foremost is recognizing that you don't have to have been through major abuse or anything like that, that we typically associate with trauma for the body to physically respond. It can just be something quite simple, like what you're talking about. But I guess the other thing is, and particularly in the program that I run, one of the biggest things, and particularly with a lot of like driven, ambitious, successful women typically, is they just don't know how to feel. They don't know how to process their emotions. And so often we grew up in families, and this is absolutely nothing against our parents. All of our parents did the very best job that they possibly could have. But most parents weren't necessarily well emotionally regulated. And so they didn't know how to deal with a screaming, frustrated, angry child. So often I hear stories of kids saying, yeah, oh, well, I was never allowed to be angry because I got in trouble if I was angry. Or whenever I was sad, mum and dad would tell me to stop it. You don't need to cry. Come on. Don't cry. So throughout life, we start to learn that some emotions are good and some emotions are bad. And the association we have with emotions that are bad, we tend to repress them and suppress them or distract ourselves from them. And then all of a sudden we wonder why we've got all this pent up emotional energy. We've got all of this built up emotional energy, and we wonder why we've got these mystery symptoms or mystery pains or mystery skin conditions or digestive issues that no one can really figure out. So I guess that's probably the answer to that is firstly, trauma doesn't need to be massive. And secondly, we're not taught as children how to process emotions safely.
And the thing, like, don't know how to feel, that's where I can't remember if we talked in December or we talked in January. That was like the thing that was my wake up call when you had, have we talked about this before? I don't know if you remember specifically, but I was talking about processing my aunt's death, which was in 2008. And I hadn't processed it like at all over 12 years. And I had told you that I had never cried in front of my 7-year-old. And the thing that you said was, what are you teaching her and your other two daughters about emotions if they've never even seen you cry one time? And that, like, just flipping that, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I teaching them? I'm teaching them that crying is bad, or that I'm always happy all the time, neither of which are true for anyone. So that don't know how to feel, I think, and I get that question all the time too, now that I'm talking and sharing my experiences, and people don't even know where to start to feel. And what I noticed with me was I wasn't feeling the highs and I wasn't feeling the lows. So I wasn't ever letting myself, it wasn't ever even safe to be like super happy or joyful.
Yeah.
So how do you, I know that there's going to be so many women listening to this who are like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to feel. Or when I feel sad, I feel guilty about it. And then I try and change it. So how do you start?
Well, I guess the first thing that you need to recognize is that in order to heal, you got to feel. And one of the things that I teach is that when we go through an unexpected traumatic or stressful event, and there's that emotional energy that goes along with it, if we don't allow that emotional energy to pass through our body and release through safely feeling it, well, then it literally gets stuck in our body. And that emotional energy stays with us and then often gets reactivated with smaller situations in the future. Like maybe you get cut off in traffic, and because you haven't dealt with some unprocessed hurt and anger, you just have this monster unleash, right? So that's probably a good sign that if you find yourself getting triggered, chances are you've got some unprocessed emotional trauma. And I'm banking that pretty much everyone here does. Like, we all do, right? It's human. But the thing is, it's how do you learn to feel? It's, I guess the first thing to recognize in yourself is recognize that you're not feeling. Recognize that when you do get sad, you distract yourself. Or when you feel upset, you suppress that and you don't let yourself. Or when you feel angry, you immediately flip to thinking something and feeling something positive and just completely ignoring your experience. I guess recognizing how you actually respond to various emotions is really important, because once you recognize that, okay, when I'm sad, I go on Facebook, I scroll Facebook and Instagram for 2 hours. That's, you can recognize when you're unconsciously not feeling those things. And then you can go, all right, what is it that I need to feel here? What is it that I'm missing? And then you can actually start to connect with yourself. But the other thing that's really important for everyone is to realize that there are no bad emotions. Emotions are neither good or bad. They just are, right? But the thing is, we've been taught that certain emotions such as sadness or hurt or shame or anger aren't okay to feel. And what that does for people is that we don't allow ourselves to feel them, or we feel upset or annoyed at ourselves for feeling them. And so the thing is, if you don't feel these things, because when you actually feel them and when you allow the emotional energy to, as I say, bubble up, it actually allows you to let it go. And you can't let it go if you never actually process it. Does that answer your question?
It does. And cool. Our logical, because we, it's so funny because I know that there's so many people like me, and just being in your group and in your program, I see all the women that you're working with who are exactly like me, who are just like, give me all the steps. How many times do I have to feel this before I can let it go? And I still get into that pattern too, where I'm like, okay, I've felt this before, so I don't really need to feel this again. And it's just like that logical side where you're just like, give me the steps. I want to know how long this is going to take. How many minutes do I have to be sad for before I can let this go?
Yeah, it's definitely a thing. And I guess you just can't approach it from it's not something you put on your to-do list. It's not like another thing that you, like if you approach this work as another thing that you add, like another supplement or another therapy or another treatment, you're missing the point. This is an opportunity to actually really connect with yourself and really connect with who you are at a core level. And you can't rush that. You can't go through that process. But in its essence, this work is so simple. But the thing is, people get lost in the simplicity. That's probably where a lot of people get in their head about it and go, well, am I feeling all right? Like, I think I'm feeling an emotion. I'm not sure. I don't know what it is. And they kind of, everyone starts to go around in this loop because it is so simple.
Yeah, been there a million times. And
we've had a few conversations.
pages and pages on Messenger. The other thing is, I know that it feels scary for people to kind of like, you have this can of worms that all of a sudden you're going to unleash. And the other analogy that you had shared with me that really helped is like your emotions are like the monster under the bed. I don't know if you remember when you shared that with me, but it's like the monster gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you flip the light on and you realize like it's not a monster. It's like a sock or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But pausing to kind of open the can of worms can feel really scary. Mm-hmm. And I know there's not even really a question there, but I'm sure you get a lot of people you work with who are like, I can't do that right now.
Yeah, exactly. It is like that. It's like when you've avoided feeling something or avoided dealing with something for a large part of your life, it is like having a monster under your bed and you're a little kid and you're hiding under the sheets going, there's something really dangerous under there and I don't want to look at it because it's big and scary. And the more that you think about that, the more attention you give how much you're not feeling something, the bigger and bigger and bigger it gets until it feels completely overwhelming. But the only way to actually move through that is to turn the light on. And by turning the light on, you're actually shining your awareness and your attention onto that monster. And when you do that, you realize that it's usually nothing that big. But I guess one of the things is noticing the level of resistance you have to actually feeling something is huge, because when you start to do this work and you start to feel maybe some sadness come up, most people, or pretty much everyone that I've worked with, will experience a level of resistance to allowing that to come up. And it does take, one of the ways in which you need to approach this work is by being courageous. It does take a bit of courage. It does take I like to call it a moment of courage because you don't necessarily need to be courageous all of the time to do this work, but it just takes a moment of courage, because that moment is like you're lying in bed and thinking there's a monster on your bed, and it takes just a second of courage just to switch that light on. And once you switch that light on, that's when you're already in it. You're like, okay, now I'm doing it. I'm feeling it. I'm looking at this monster, and hey, it's usually not as bad as what you make out to be, believe. I love that saying. It's we suffer more in our imagination than we do in reality. So this is something that a lot of people experience when it comes to feeling stuff. And the other thing that I would say about that is typically people have got 20, 30, 40, 60 years of repressed emotional energy, and they go, all right, I need to let all of this go at once. Are you kidding me? And it's like, no, you don't need to let it all go at once. And one of the things that I share with people in my group is when they get into this place of overwhelm and go, but I've been through so much, Jake, how do I let it all come? How do I feel it and heal it and do all that kind of stuff? Is I just say, well, how do you eat an elephant? That old saying. And it's like, well, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. And so this work is just a matter of connecting with yourself and allowing yourself to feel some of this old stuff bit by bit by bit by bit. And it's a process.
I think the coolest thing about this too is that once you start down this path, you actually aren't afraid to feel those feelings anymore. And you're actually okay with feeling sad. And the more you're okay with feeling sad, the faster it actually passes, which is really interesting. Because I was that person who was like the suppressor and the pusher, where I wouldn't even like read cards from my family because they would make me, I didn't have time to cry. I never had time to cry. That was always my story. I probably still have cards from when my oldest was born that I never read because I never had time to cry. And now, like, if I have to cry, it's funny because sometimes it won't even like, I'll let it come up and it'll be like a tear and I'll be like, oh, okay. Like that was it. Cause I allowed it instead of just continually pushing it down over and over again.
Yeah. What we resist persists. And if you resist feeling a certain way, well, not only does it persist and not only do you actually attract more situations which are going to make you feel the exact same way, but that energy actually grows like the monster under the bed. It's like when you don't look at it, when you resist it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Whereas this process is really about acceptance and allowing. And because when you can accept how you feel, you can allow that emotion to be there. And when you approach an emotion with that way, it's just an acceptance. You allow it to be there. It's not, I'm trying to fix this, or I'm not trying to get rid of this emotion. I'm not trying to process it so I don't feel this way. It's just, I'm okay with being sad right now. And when you can do that and invite that sadness up, well, then it'll move through your body much quicker. And then you can, often what people experience is they'll go, okay, I felt that thing. I allowed myself to feel the hurt from reading a letter from my family. And the emotion came up and then it went away. And the thing is, if you had that experience and just pushed it down, well, not only is that going to cause you to feel really disconnected and that emotion is going to bottle up and bottle up and it's going to cause self-sabotage down the way. But if you do that for long enough, and if you've had some big stuff that you haven't processed, you're going to have all kinds of physical symptoms that medical people can't explain.
And I think the even more beautiful part is once you accept those emotions, you learn to accept that you're not broken and that you're whole and that you can just accept it all, which is the result that I've had. And it's so amazing. It's so cool.
And Byron Katie, I love this saying that she uses. He's, when you argue with reality, it always hurts. I might be paraphrasing that a little bit, but, and that's the case. It's like when you are experiencing something, allow yourself to experience it, because when you argue with it or don't try and feel that or try and move through it or try and distract yourself or try and be so busy and successful and all the rest of it that you just cover up that stuff, well, then it hurts. You're arguing with reality. But when you're able to do this, this is a real spiritual practice as well of when I can accept things as they are, it really does bring a level of peace and peace and calm into your life.
And I think it does catch up at some point, even if you are the most successful, which what does that even mean? Like if you're okay, maybe you're making the money you want to be making, but you have all these repressed emotions. At some point, it's going to catch up with you in some way, and you'll have to deal with it or not, but it's,
yeah,
it's easier to deal with it than not.
Absolutely. And like, I'm not a medical doctor, and this, like, don't take this as medical advice, but one of the things that I've seen is that when people, and I noticed this with my own body, like when I was younger and I had all of this stuff that I had just hadn't dealt with, it does catch up to you, and it'll kind of do, I think it does. So from, if we look at this from a big picture place, it's like, this stuff's going to sit you on your ass so that you can actually experience what's going on. You can actually process it and let it go. And the thing is, people try and let things go. It's like, oh yeah, I went through this and I've done work on it and I've let it go. And it's like, and they've done so by trying to mitigate how they feel. They haven't actually allowed themselves to feel what happened then. And this isn't about getting caught up in your feelings and getting stuck being sad all day, every day, but it's just actually allowing yourself to feel that stuff. And then all of the strategies and techniques and things that you do actually become more successful and more effective anyway. But so often people just try and fix how they're feeling by doing techniques and things like that to actually, but they're missing the point, because if you're not actually feeling it, you're not healing it, right? And so I use the analogy of the coffee cup. It's like, if you've got a glass full of coffee and there's a tiny bit of coffee left in the mug, you can pour as much clear, fresh water on top of that. But the thing is, the water's always going to be a little bit murky. There's always going to be that emotional energy of the past that affects everything that you do. But the thing is, you have to first get rid of the coffee out of the cup before you can start pouring clear water onto that. And for me, that looks like firstly allowing yourself to experience the emotion and experience the events, because the thing is, these emotions went into your body at a certain frequency, and you actually have to allow them to go out at the same frequency. You don't necessarily need to know why things happened or why this person did this to you or why that happened to you, but just allow yourself to feel what you didn't allow yourself to feel when it happened.
So if our listeners are listening to this and they're like, okay, I want to get started with this work, what's the first step to bringing this all up? And another question is, do you need to have some type of physical symptom in order to start this?
No, not at all. Like, I think this is really useful is, well, firstly, physical symptoms, because the way GNM is the foundation of that I use for my work, right? So Germany medicine is essentially the roadmap between the mind and the body. So if someone comes to me with a shoulder problem, I know exactly what kind of emotional stuff that they've experienced that they are still experiencing. And so it's really good like that, because we can laser focus, get to the point of what they have been through that they haven't processed properly. And that's when you can really start to see physical shifts in pain and other various conditions, because we know that this is linked with this, and this digestive thing is linked with this thing that happened and all this kind of stuff. But the thing is, you don't need to necessarily have physical symptoms to start doing this work. If you recognize that you are someone who has not allowed yourself to feel, and or who isn't okay with being sad or isn't okay with feeling angry or gets upset when their kids get upset, it's like, just start to recognize those patterns in yourself. Notice where you are distracting or not allowing yourself to feel. And then just notice that, because when you notice that, all of a sudden, instead of unconsciously suppressing an emotion, you're noticing that you're feeling resistance to feeling it, right? This is kind of a bit of a paradox, but then you can choose to lean into it. You can choose to allow it to be there. You can choose to accept it. And that's when things really start to transmute.
Yeah. And I mean, we worked on a few different things, but one of the things that was like so visually obvious was my skin. I had like horrible eczema on my face for seven years on and off. So that's something we worked with last time. And it was really amazing just once you were able to see the connection and bring it up and then shift it, help me shift through it. And I saw a difference very quickly, but it was a process, and it's really amazing. So if people are having symptoms and they want to get your guidance, your help, because like you said, shoulder pain is linked to one thing, skin issues linked to another. And basically every different symptom has a link emotionally, right?
Yeah. So like if we use your skin as an example, so skin like eczema typically is what we call a separation conflict. So physical touch is so important to connection. And when we feel like we're being separated from someone we care about, or in fact, wanting to get something off our skin, what that does is it causes the skin to undergo some changes to, and when you're stressed about feeling separated from someone, this is wild, right? Your skin will actually ulcerate. You'll lose some cells off the top of your skin, the epidermal layer. And then your skin will actually be a bit numb. And the reason your skin goes numb is a really cool thing that Mother Nature does. Because if your skin's more numb, it means that that painful separation that you've been through, you can't feel it, you can't remember it as much, which is quite cool. So when you're able to recognize what that separation is, well, then your skin can start to actually heal and do its thing. So, and the reason a lot of people's symptoms go on and on and on and on and on is because the event might have long been over, right? So for you, your skin, the events that started your skin were no longer a reality. But the thing is, unconsciously, your mind was holding on to that feeling of being separated, and it's going, I do not want to experience this again. And so it remembers that feeling, everything that you see, smell, taste, touch, sense, all the rest of it. It remembers that so that it can protect you from experiencing that same thing again. And so anytime that you had any kind of situation that felt like a separation of any kind, that would cause your skin to flare up again and again and again and again. So once you can actually identify what that link is, you can process the emotion around the original event. Well, then you can start to move forward and you can actually stop being triggered and stop being reactive and stop your symptoms from actually flaring up.
Yeah. So if they want to start on this journey with you, I know you have a free Facebook group. Tell them where they can find you, how they can get more info, because this is seriously, this is the most, I've done so much research over the past few years, so many books read, but this was really the thing that helped shift me and really, like, truly the number one reason why I did this, which I didn't know when I was starting this, is for my kids and to have them not have me not continue the cycle, have my kids not continue the cycle. And really it's completely changed the way I parent, and my kids are happier. My kids are more patient. And even my 2-year-old went up to my 5-year-old the other day when she was crying, and she walked up to her and she was like, "It's okay to cry." Like that, I was like, mind blown. I've done my job.
You have. And that's it. It's when you can provide, because most of us as kids didn't have a safe environment where it was okay to experience emotions. We didn't have a parent that could mirror our emotions and mirror our needs. And so when you can do that for your own kids, it's like, I haven't got children yet, but I think that's such a beautiful thing to have, and allow those kids to feel safe to process whatever it is that they go through. Is going to mean that they're actually going to be far less likely to get stuck in it and far less likely to suppress things when things do happen, because life happens, right? Life, we can't stop that. But the thing is, we can control how we actually move through that. We can allow ourselves to feel things. And like I said at the start, it's like when you stop arguing with reality, life doesn't hurt as much. You can actually allow yourself to feel the pain. And when you allow, it's quite ironic, but when you allow yourself to feel the pain, it actually, you move through it faster, much like a Chinese finger trap, right? It's like, if you keep pulling away from the pain and the emotion that you don't want to feel, it gets tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. But when you can lean into it, that's when you can actually move through it.
Yeah. So good. So good. So tell everyone where they can find you, your Facebook group, your podcast, anywhere else you want to send them.
Yeah. So there's a few different things. If people want to do a consult with me and find the link between whatever symptoms they have and the unresolved emotional stuff that they've been through, well, they can jump on jakecurry.co. I'll probably give you some links that you can use, or find me at mindbodymasters.com. So I do one-on-one consults with people, less and less these days, but helping people to find the specific links. I also have a program, the Mind Body Masters program, which is currently running, which is going great. So if you want to join that, we have a wait list available for the next round, which will be happening Probably in the next couple of months, I think. So that'll be cool. And I also have a free quiz. Excuse me. So I've got a cool quiz that you can do, and basically you can look at what stuff that you've been through and how that might be affecting your physical body. So that's a cool place to sort of dip your toes in.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This was so great. I love talking about this stuff with you. So thank you so much for being here.
Awesome. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to The Shift Show with Nicole Culver. Join us over in the Social Shift Facebook group to continue the conversation. Find us over at nicoleculver.co/community. Thanks for listening.